This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew.
Try this beef stew. Try this beef stew.
Sorry, medical.
Maybe both. I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside.
Hey, what's the address that they're near? Okay. And is it a male or female?
It sounds like a male.
And you don't know why?
I don't know why. I think they're yelling help, but I don't know. Just send someone quick. Say, ah.
Okay. Does he look hurt? Can you see him?
I can't see him. I don't want to go out there. I don't know what's going on. So. They're sending.
So you think he's yelling help?
Yes.
All right, what is your number?
Just gunshots.
You just heard gunshots?
Yes.
How many?
Just one. Jeremy, get down. No, come here.
Is he no longer yelling?
No one, I don't know. Jeremy, get in here now. Jeremy, get up here.
All right, is he right outside?
Yeah, pretty much out the back, yeah.
Hey, everybody, this is Mimi, and welcome to Help Talk. Tonight, we'll be discussing Trayvon Martin and are we still stuck in the past? You know, this week I barely look at Facebook, but this week when I did, I found that a lot of people were posting pictures and, you know, reposting comments regarding the issue with Trayvon Martin. For those that don't know, Trayvon Martin was here today and gone tomorrow when George Zimmerman senselessly took his life based on being black and wearing a hoodie. And it's sad, you know, because that's what it all boiled down to, that, you know, he was a young black man and he was wearing a hoodie. So I guess he was considered to look intimidating because he was wearing a hoodie. You know, he wasn't rowdy or walking with a group of intimidating people. And, you know, from the pictures that I've seen of him, you know, his pictures certainly don't look intimidating. You know, as I saw how he looked like he was younger than a 17-year-old. You know, when I first heard of the tragedy, I got to say that I wasn't surprised, unfortunately, because I feel like this country is very stuck in the past. You know, in this day and age, when people are integrated and, you know, we have interracial relationships and, you know, just realizing that we have so much to offer each other, it's a shame that people can't see past skin color. And, you know, you read articles on the internet, and it seems that, you know, bloggers, they made note about whether Trayvon had a criminal past or whatever, but he didn't have one. However, the assailant, I don't see him being heavily scrutinized for really having a past or whatever the case. We don't really know that much about him. You know, it's just crazy how, you know, such a young man can have his life just taken away and this whole situation hasn't been brought to justice yet and there's been no arrest. You know, with George Zimmerman, it seems like he had some type of menacing thoughts, you know, beyond just protecting where he lives, because why would he need to carry a gun in the first place? You know, he's supposed to be neighborhood watch. And furthermore, based on the 911 calls, from what I heard, the police told him not to pursue Trayvon Martin, but he did anyway, and look at what happened. But from what I understand, they haven't arrested him because of this Stand Your Ground law. And basically that law states that a person may use deadly force in self-defense where there's reasonable belief of a threat. But, you know, it makes me wonder if that situation did arise between the two, but because Trayvon felt threatened, and what if he killed Zimmerman? Would he have been arrested right away? You know, it just makes you think about a lot of things. He definitely was being threatened, and this arrest makes me feel like, okay, like with the situation, you see a lot of people getting arrested and going to jail, like Michael Vick. You know, he did 21 months for just being cruel to animals. And here it is, this guy killed someone who wasn't a threat to him, who was just going to the store to buy his brother candy, and he gets killed, and no one is brought to justice for it. And, you know, we have our producer Cap in the building tonight, and I know that similar situations have happened with him where, you know, I guess people think he looked intimidating and everything. He's told me stories in the past about some things. Like, what is your take on this whole thing, Kat?
Well, I mean, let's just adjust these mics, right? All right. Well, I mean, it's an ongoing thing, you know, in this country that we have. It's the value of the black man is still very low in this country. No matter what the contributions that we've made to this country, in the eyes of those who founded the country, that's what they see. And that's why it's easy for them to say, well, let's sit back and make sure. Let's make sure that what he did was wrong. As opposed to, okay, he just killed somebody. Most people are supposed to get detained till it's all figured out. You know, and like you said, he called 911 and the guy said, don't pursue him, and he pursued him anyway. So now, is this, is the Florida Police Department justifying vigilantism? You know, they told him to stand down and he didn't stand down. He pursued. And clearly on that 911 call, I don't care what nobody say. You talk about someone being a tough guy, a thug. Those kind of screams don't come from someone who's trying to assault someone else. Obviously, this man is much bigger than that kid to begin with. So even if they got in a confrontation, the most maybe the kid would have talked some trash. But those kind of screams weren't, I'm a tough guy and now I'm in trouble with getting shot. Those were cries for help that this guy was in fear from the beginning. Nobody screams like that if they're the perpetrator. I'm sorry. I just don't think it's that way. I mean, and like you said, as far as my experiences, I think there's not a black man on this planet that hasn't experienced being pointed out as the potential thug or rapist or, you know, if I could count how many times I call it white knuckle purse. And that's when a woman, is usually a woman that's not of black descent, when you walk by, they'll clench their purse, and I mean with all their might, so hard that their knuckles turn pale. I can't count. Like when I was a kid and in my young 20s,
yeah, I remember that even Greg Kelly on Fox 5, he admitted to that. He said he'd been in elevators and saw black men get in and the white women clutch their purse. Now, if a white person can admit that these things are happening, then, I mean, what other proof do we need to show that there is a problem in this country where, you know, we're still being looked at as menacing? But, you know, I remember the stories that you told me, and I think it's fantastic. I mean, me as a black woman, I don't feel like I've ever gone through something like that. But it's not that I haven't experienced racism either. And clearly, this is a matter of racism if you're saying that, you know, someone who's walking around with a hoodie on just because they're a young black man is intimidating, or they look like they're up to no good, or they're going to rob somebody, or they're going to kill someone, or whatever the case.
But, you know, I wanted Cap to share his stories because, you know, it's just really sad how people think these days.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really changed. I mean, things have gotten a little better, but at the cost of several lives, I can't say it got better. You got plenty of people that are run through the judicial system, you know, murdered. For every kid that dies because he's black, I say that's 10 years backwards, which in my account, we haven't gone anywhere because it keeps happening over and over and over again. So what? This guy has a hoodie. It's raining. He has a hood on his head. Most people would, if they have a hood, they'll put it on.
Well,
you know?
These days a lot of people wear hoodies, but, you know.
No, but it's not intimidating unless it's on a black man's
exactly,
head.
Exactly. And I think that is just really the sad part. And there's going to be a lot more of these cases going on for something like this if we don't get control of it now. And I think he needs to be brought to justice, but, you know, I think it's so unfair that it's okay for him to go into hiding because he killed somebody. And now he knows that was a mistake. So from what I understand, you know, he made up a lie and said that this young man attacked him. So there were also stories about how Trayvon's girlfriend was on the phone with him at the time. So how can he attack someone and be on the phone with his girlfriend at the same time? That's just crazy how, you know, people can make up a story and it's okay and nothing happened to them in the end. But I know that there's a lot of people are rallying for him to be jailed. And I really don't know what's going to come out of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's not brought to justice.
Well, yeah, you're right. And the chances are that it won't happen unless people rally together. And I mean, it's a constant push. It's not going to happen because basically what happens with police departments worldwide is they took a stance and now they can't have egg on their face. You know, they let them go.
Right.
So they feel that was right. And how does it look to the state, to the country, if they easily just flip on what their decision making is? So at this point, they will only cave if people rally and it's constant and it doesn't stop to the point where they have to do it just to shut everyone up.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because the lesson is never learned. It's not learned. It's just, okay, you guys said enough. It's like the manager at Burger King, and you're complaining about your burger. And then they come out and eventually they give you a discount. But that person doesn't get fired if they inconvenienced you. They're still going to be there. Right? And I know that's a weird analogy, but it's a sense of truth in the fact that those same police, those same commissioners, the same people in charge are still there. And that's how they think because they made that decision. So their decision, their thought process doesn't change just because people rally. It's just now they have to be more careful about what they say and when they say it. But the root of it hasn't changed, which means it's going to keep happening.
Right. Well, you know, I just think it's so funny how people still think the same way. Like, you know, they'll look at someone black and they'll say that, you know, they're harassed for fitting the description or looking intimidating all the time. And, you know, even some of these laws, I think some of these laws are made to oppress in a way because, you know, look at the history of the country. You know, there were laws previously that allowed us to be oppressed and allowed us to not be able to grow as a person because of the color of our skin. But as things progressed and as things changed, you know, the laws changed. However, you know, the stand your ground law just makes me wonder if this was something that was created so that things like this, a situation like this, could go the way it's going at this point. Because, like I said, I wonder if the shoe was on the other foot. Say if this young man ended up killing Zimmerman because he's threatening him, would he have been arrested? I believe so.
Oh, yeah. He'd definitely been arrested. And at least he would have been put through the system for a few days while they sorted out. He wouldn't have been immediately released after a couple of questions. It just doesn't work that way. I've seen people do a weekend in jail for spitting on sidewalk. Actually, a friend of mine, the cops were upset with us because we were all, it was too many of us together, I guess. You know, it was when we were teenagers. And he didn't know any better. And he turned around, he spit on the ground. And the officer handcuffed him. How do you do that? You can wipe spit up with your shoe. You know, in the end, it's liquid. It evaporates. He didn't spit on anyone. It was on concrete. And they arrested him, and we had to go follow him to the precinct.
Right. And I think sometimes the charges don't fit the it just doesn't fit the jail time. Like with the stories about the football players, like Plaxico Burress,
yeah,
he shot himself.
So
I understand that he wasn't supposed to be carrying a gun, and I understand all of that and everything, but I just feel that, you know, you're getting jail time for something that you did to yourself, and then, you know, look at this situation where you're taking the life of someone who had promise and, you know, who could have grown as a great, you know, human being, and you're taking his life for no reason, and being so young, you know, not even a legal adult.
Yeah,
and you can get arrested for giving kids, you know, minors alcohol, but you're not going to get arrested for killing a minor. You know, I just don't understand that.
Yeah, and I listen to just about all of the 911 calls. So you can catch the perspectives of everyone. One of the things that Zimmerman said was, they always get away with it, which means he already had a chip on his shoulder. I don't know if someone successfully robbed him in the past, which I think happened, because for him to say something like that, that means whoever did anything to him before, he was looking for a person of color to take it out on. That's how I feel about it. He was looking to take it out on somebody. Because why would he say that? You know? And we got DJ Big Stu. He definitely wants to weigh in on everything. So
What's up, y'all? How y'all feel, man?
Yeah, I mean,
Big Stu, how you doing?
Feel good. Besides this thing. Yeah, I've been really, really pissed off since I heard him.
You know how I feel, man. You know, you basically, me and you spoke on it before, man. And my whole thing is, like, the only thing I do feel like he's going to get caught, though, Cap, for the simple fact is, one, the people who made the law basically stood up and said, and when I say this stuff about race, I want to make sure it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's not an other thing, because there are a lot of good white people standing up for this. If you look at Facebook and Twitter and all that, there's people of all races standing up for this, which is really good. That I agree with you on the part when you said, you know, we got to keep the constant protest, but we also got to go even harder because, you know, Florida has a lot of hot main attractions, Disney and everything. People go to Florida for, you know, they make a lot of money off of us, whether it's their fruits and whether it's their, you know, and if they rise, if they don't want to do the right thing, then, you know, all of us across the land, especially the minorities, we need to protest Florida because they get a lot of great bit of our money. And you'll hit their pockets then, and they'll do something. They'll do the right thing then. They will not let that one guy mess up the, especially now with the way this economy is. A lot of those so-called racist guys that's in Florida, these guys are mechanics that work on these rides in Disneyland and work on a lot of the main attractions and work at a lot of the main Florida attractions. So that's how you got to hit them in their pockets and make them understand, you know, and they will understand, believe me, because right now they don't need nobody hitting them. They already say they had bad crop time, bad, you know, a couple of bad things. So now everybody stop supporting Florida and treat Florida like, you know, until they do the right thing with this. That's the main way to get it, and to keep on protesting around the world, because they're going to get tired of the attention. And people in Florida should protest around that gated community. They should protest over there every day.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Now, finish your point.
And make the people in that community feel what's wrong. And, you know, because the people in that community obviously support their community watch. Obviously, Rambo had a little feeling. I don't know if it's people that don't want to be down with, don't want to say nothing about it, make them come out. Protest them. They're going to get tired. And somebody's going to come out and say, oh, this guy used to be like this, you know. But he's not going to get away with it. I'm going to be honest with you. The best place for them is to put him in jail. If they were smart, they'll put him in jail. That might be the safest place for him at this point in time with the uproar. Because things are different now, you know. You know, he would have to go to, like, some place where he would never see black people again or any minority again, you know. He would have to live like that. I think he put himself in a real dangerous situation.
Well, I mean, deservedly so. I mean, he murdered someone based on his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he
bullied them.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, he saw an opportunity, and again, whatever happened in his past, he took it out
mm-hmm.
on this kid. Whatever black person did something to him back in the days, he took it out.
If they don't put him in jail, they leaving him to be, you know, something to happen to him or his family. That's the honest truth of it. Because in this case, he's a bully. You know what I mean? He's not a cop. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have, you know, he doesn't get over like the cops got over when they killed people. You know, he doesn't have that with him. He don't got the cops union backing him, you know, protecting him. You know, basically he on his own, he left that little local community. But, you know, he's a walking duck for anybody that's really radical with this situation. And there's a lot of radical people out there nowadays, you know. I don't mean to say it like that, but it is the truth, you know. On any side, and, you know, he put himself in there position for anybody wanting to make a statement to use him or anybody in his vicinity close to him. And I think that was a dumb move that he did. He didn't even think about Trayvon life. He didn't think about the uproar he was going to make across the nation, and he didn't think about his own family he was going to have to pay for the consequences. You know, because even if he moves away, he got cousins and uncles and you know what I'm saying, and other family members that's going to have to pay for his stupid mistake.
Yeah, that's potentially the case, man. But I'll tell you this, though. I mean, the saddest part is the fact that he's dead. But besides that, when we talk about trying to learn a lesson and trying to go for healing, it's unfortunate that, like you said, you know, if you do put pressure and you hurt the pocket of the governing body, that then they will use him as a sacrifice.
Exactly.
For the betterment of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no lesson. There's no compassion there. That's like saying, well, you know, if Michael Vick didn't go to jail and almost lose everything for fighting dogs, do you think he would have went back out and did it again, or would have he really felt bad about it? Now, I'm not in that man's head, so I can't speak for him, but I'm saying, for a person who came up and didn't think it was wrong, would it instantly change him unless there was heavy consequences? And that's how I feel about just the police in general. I mean, there's some good police, and like you said, there was, you know, there's white people rallying, and I never discount those people. I don't look at every white person as a racist. You know, mm-hmm. I know that that's not true.
Yeah.
But the country on a whole is designed and backed, furnished by racism. And
oh, yeah.
Even if it's not overt, you know, the subtleties are there within everybody in this country. You can't grow in this country without being affected or somehow influenced by racism, mm-hmm. whether it's on the defensive or the offensive side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. It's time, but you know, it's definitely time. This time right here, he doesn't even know, man. He made a lot of people stick together. He made the youth, because we was losing the youth for a second. You know, we was losing the youth with the pants hanging down. I mean, you still got that, but now you see everybody with the hoodies. One thing that you don't do nowadays in America with the hip-hop community is you don't set nothing off that, man, because it's not just the hip-hop community has the fire of the streets, but the march of a civil rights movement. You know what I mean? But the brain of a civil rights movement, and that's what makes the hip hop community the most dangerous force in the world. You know, because we could take over everything. We could stop everything. We man, everything that they making money from, sneakers to shoes to boots. We control the buyership of all that. You know what I'm saying? And we know that with Timberland. Said what they said, we make people apologize for what they say to the hip-hop community. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we have to band together and get really hard on this one. Because when we do it, it always seems to stand out. And I see Puffy with the hoodie, but the most best picture I seen was Mr. Obama with the hoodie on. I think that made the strongest statement, because I think that's a statement of, you guys better do this right. You know? You guys better do this right, because if you don't do this already, if you know this, Cap, like, four people resigned already.
Well, I didn't know about that.
You know, a couple of people resigned already. A couple of the headed up dudes resigned already. Like, you know, as soon as they said the federal guys is investigating, a couple of people started resigning.
What do you mean, from the community watch? What are you talking about?
Nah, from the police station.
Okay. I know they said the chief that stepped down.
Yeah,
I don't remember which one.
I think the chief and the commissioner, right? I think two of them, like, one, two big bosses stepped down, like, we out of here. So that's the sign of there's some jobs getting ready to get chopped, Cap. You know what I mean? That's a sign of somebody messed up, because the main killer of it, to me, is that the people who wrote the law said, if you read our law and you listen to the law that we wrote, this is the people who wrote it, the two people that wrote it. So if you read the law and you listen to that phone call, you can see that that's not what we wrote. He deserves to be arrested. What more do you need than that?
Right.
The person who wrote the law. So everybody, this is all going to go up in the court. He's going to have to face the court. Now, whether he get tried or not, he's going to have to face the court. Because you know what it is? The stalking part is going to be what they arrest him off of. That's enough to arrest him. Because you hear it, it's too many screamers, it's too many of this. You got different people saying, I'm hearing this, he doesn't sound like that. The state is probably, he's probably somebody's family out there too. Believe
it could
me.
Be. He's it could be that.
He married or something close or friends with someone. Because you know how the little towns be. They be like that. You know, I experienced that myself back in the days. You know, a little town where the judge and the public defenders, they play golf together. You know what I mean? And they talk over, all right, you know, you get this guy to cop out for 5 years and I'll let this guy go on the first offense. You know what I'm saying? And that's how they do it in those little towns. And they probably in the beginning like, hey, we ain't going to fight. We got the law on our side. But then they expect the thing to get that big. And then once you start protesting the state and people start losing money, believe me, you, they will. And I don't really care if they say he's a sacrifice, because he needs to be a sacrifice. It'll be a first step to victory. Let him go to prison. All he's going to do is go. The only way he's going to survive in prison if he joins one of those Aryan nations or things like that nature. You know what I mean? But even then, if he don't walk the right route, they may use him as a pawn. You know what I mean? So, you know, it could go anyway. You know, like Jeffrey Dahmer was a hero, and look what happened. After years and years and years, that's what I'm trying to tell you. In certain cases, man, it don't matter, man. There's always somebody out here more crazier than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'll tell you this. Do you have something?
Well, I just think that, you know, the reason why he's not getting arrested is because, like you said, now they have to look at some people's jobs, whether they did the investigation right, whether they did or didn't investigate. And I think that's a big issue, because if you didn't investigate, then what are you there for? Why are you calling yourself a police officer? You know, you're not really doing your job. And then, you know, they really have to take a serious look into this law that they put in place. So I think they don't want to answer a lot of questions, so it's better to just walk away and say, oh, forget it. You know, he's justified in what he did, so we're just going to leave it alone. But you had a comment, Kat?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going more toward just a lot of times when things happen in the communities where a white person kills a black person. And I've heard this from a lot of different black people. And I just want to say for the record, man, like, don't really make that the opportunity to preach that black people kill black people all the time. I understand it, and I don't disagree, because we got a lot of problems, deep-rooted problems, and black people are assaulting each other a lot. But when a black, when a white person assaults a black person, for the most part, they usually get off. Or if it's the police that kills a black man, they get away. You know, black on black crime, that's two deaths, because the guy who killed him is going to jail. So that's where the big difference comes in. It's not, I just don't feel that's the time to really jump on that soapbox.
Well, I don't even think they could even jump on that, because nowadays, man,
people are doing it though, cuz.
Yeah, but look at this, man. How are they gonna say that when you look at what's going on in these schools? These are not black kids going up shooting up the classrooms and doing this. These are not black communities. These are not schools in the urban community. These are good schools, man, that these kids are coming to school, and this is something that's going on a lot. This is bigger than, you know, this is mass murder. You know? This is mass murder. This is kids running up in school with guns and mass murdering.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point.
You know, this is a high rate of this. You hear about this every year, two or three times since it started.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we've been going through the killing of each other. That's been since we've been doing that since Crippin' and Crips gangbanging started. And, you know, I'm talking about since gangbanging started in the 1940s with the original Latin Kings and the Zoot Suits and, the old, before the Crips, the brothers that used to wear the chains and all that, and the Black Panthers. It started from all the way. We've been doing that. But now, the thing that you see now a lot lately is kids shooting up their schools. So it can't be the same. Kids, you got to, that's why I say it can't be a black or white thing. I mean, it's a black or white thing with a Zimmerman's mind. But with people, they can't say, oh, black is killing black. Because when we say that to the schools, oh, look, none of black kids is going up shooting up their schools. And people feel sorry. Because they lose two people, too, because the kid usually kills himself. You know what I mean? And the kid, he already had a plan to kill himself. From the minute he left his house.
Yeah.
And the only thing is that I think maybe in the ghetto communities, we deal with it better than when they have it.
Well, we're a little more
used to it.
Yeah. It's happened so
we're
much.
Used to
I was used to death by the time I was 11.
Exactly.
I was totally desensitized to the whole thing because I've seen too much.
Just recently we interviewed Miss Lisa Espich, and she was talking about her husband on drugs. And I understand her, but I was getting her point from a more suburban point of view, because that topic that she has is almost, I don't hate to say it, and maybe out of 7 out of 10 black families, somebody's with heavy substance abuse. Somebody, cousin, you know what I mean, or cousin's son, you know what I mean? Somebody somewhere got something. And we see that on a regular basis, but when suburban areas see certain things, it's like, oh my God, it's tragic. Oh my God, it's big.
Let me give you my philosophy on this. Just when we were just talking about the gangs and the Zoot Suits and everything like that. Sometimes we even start to seclude ourselves, where we look at ourselves as different from the rest of the world. And it's not different, because if you go back, all of these white cultures, they all had gangs, and they still have them. It's just they're not as prominent. And here's the thing. They all started out as gangs. But what happened is, as they made their moves, they were able to turn their destruction into something better for themselves. And they didn't have as much opposition. If they had these one or two rivals, once they got rid of those rivals, that was the end of it. Our growth has been stunted so much that we are still in that gang stage and fighting for position. These other people have already done it. They've developed, they've become countries, and eventually become giant gangs, which you call government.
Mm.
See, we're within that. We're still in those early stages. You know, if you look back, Democrats and Republicans, they fought with weapons. Did you see Gangs of New York?
Yeah.
That's pretty much where it all started. So that is a gang that grew into a gang that people don't view as malicious, even though some of the policies and laws and things that they passed destroy entire countries.
Now, let me tell you something. We talked about Michael Vick earlier a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to connect Michael Vick with what Kappa was talking about. Who you think created the dog fighting, and what time and place when the dog fighting was created? That same time you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Those same dudes, if you look at even in the movie, what they was doing, fighting dogs. These guys created the fighting dogs. These guys made law. Fighting dogs was legal for these guys. It was part of entertainment. These guys, you know what I'm saying? Now, look at the twist. Now, they're the same people. These guys, not only did they created fighting the dog, they created the dog to fight. They'll tell you that, all right, we created the dog to catch bulls and to catch bait and all that stuff. But before they tested it on bulls and bait, they tested it on other breeds of dogs.
Yeah.
So it's a connection with a lot of stuff that goes on now, and that if a black person does it, they'll pay the price more. Like you said, when we got our gangs now, are not organized as much as their gangs, so we're getting different type of charges and gangs, but, you know, and that's our fault probably. But if you look at it, Michael Vick paid, probably the first person who paid, and there's a bunch of men, history of famous men, presidents and everything, who fought dogs. From that same time, who never saw grace of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who had backyards full of dogs to fight. Never saw no time. Never even thought about time.
Definitely. Let me just give an ID. This is Hot Talk. Your host, Mimi here. Blog Talk Radio / B-Stew Radio, bstewradio.com. I see some callers in who are listening. If you guys decide you want to talk, feel free. Press that number one so that we know that you want to speak. Drop your opinion. For people who are listening on the internet, if you want to call in and weigh in on this topic with Trayvon Martin, it's 914-338-1685. This is a serious deal. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you guys a question because, you know, I know that a lot of black men sometimes experience things that maybe black women don't just walking down the street. But do you feel like something like this could happen to either one of you?
Oh, man. You know how many times?
So go ahead, cuz.
I grew up on 110th Street in Lexington, Maryland. I grew up where they call across 110th Street. That was something normal for us to get searched, to get harassed. And, you know, we had our time in our lives when we wasn't always doing the right thing, not even didn't add to it. But there was times before I even, as a young little boy, coming from the boys' club or going to the Boy Scouts or running too fast, you know, running to go to the store for my mom's. And I was kind of tall. So, you know, I've been stopped by the police many, many, many times, you know. And I've seen kids stopped by the police many times. You know, the police have grabbed me up. I've been in, it was a project near my neighborhood. Now it's a lot more black and Spanish people living there. But back in the early 70s, the late 70s and the early 80s, a project called Stanley Isaac Houses, it was predominantly white. And this would be scary going through there because that was the only place, that project that I ever seen, that you actually seen racism and you felt it walking through there. And one of my friend's grandmothers used to live there. So, you know, we used to always have to go in there and check on his grandmother. And it was always an adventure going to see his grandmother. And we would know it. You know, we would do it because, you know, he'd go see his grandmother to look out for her. His grandmother probably used to give him some money, whatever. But, you know, he'd go see granny. And that was his thing to do every Saturday. He's been doing it for his whole life. So we would take our chance doing it. And it was crazy because they would stop. They would chase us. The project was like from like 92nd, or I think it was on First Avenue, from 90, York Avenue to maybe 96th or 97th Street. And we would run all the way. And once we would get to maybe the Metro North houses, they would stop chasing us. They would stop. But, you know, it was just, and they was their neighborhood watch, you know. They was calling themselves the neighborhood watch, and they would just chase us. It was like they could know that his grandmother lived there. They knew they'd see us come in, and by the time, if one of them see us come in, by the time we leave, and there's about 20 or 30 of them in front of the building.
Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, man, when I was like 12, you know, I had family that lived in Westbury, that's in Long Island, New York. And we went to a drive-in, like drive-in theaters were still open. So, you know, it was a bunch of us. We'd pack in the car, but then we had chairs. We'd take the chairs out, and then we'd sit outside the car so that everybody can be comfortable. There was only one car, so, you know, didn't have two cars. So we would get out and sit on the outside of the car and everything. But that was a regular routine, go to the movies. A gang of white kids, all yelling, I hate the N-word, but I got to say it for this kid, yelling nigga, and they chased us. For blocks. That was like, I mean, I experienced racism before that, but that was the first time violence was threatened against me racially. And they chased us for blocks and blocks. And it's a good thing that, you know, we had a little stamina to run because we all couldn't get back in the car in time. So the person driving, it was like two people in the car, they drove off. It was not enough time for everyone to jump in. So we're running. These guys got bricks, sticks, and they're running us out of their neighborhood.
Now,
just because.
Now, I want to ask you something. I'm glad you say that because do you feel that we accept them more when they come to our neighborhood more than they accept us?
Overall, yeah. I mean, there are some ignorant people that, again, almost like Zimmerman, and I'm not giving him any sort of leeway. But there are people that automatically they have the chip, like, okay, I don't like this person, so, you know, they're no good. But we are more accepting. We're a lot more accepting. We're accepting to the point where it really is an even level, even in general discussion. And this is where a lot of things, again, you know, I have white friends, I have white colleagues, so I don't feel I'm speaking from a racist perspective. I'm speaking from a perspective of truth.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is a lot of them, the way that they're taught, they don't realize that what's coming out of their mouth is wrong. And we'll accept them, and we won't say too many things that are just like way off to the left. But if you go as a black person in a circle of white people, you're gonna hear, whether it be from the misunderstanding, if they're saying something about your hair, if they're saying something about just black people in general, if they feel you just automatically know everything there is to know about rap. We don't present that to them. We come open. And then even with them sometimes, to fit in, they'll try to show us how much they know. But we don't do that. We don't go say, hey, you know, Lincoln, the President Lincoln did this, this. We don't do that. They'll come in like, oh, you know, so-and-so. Oh, yeah, that's like Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you need that to appeal to me? You don't need to tell me about my own culture to appeal to me. For the most part, I'm aware. And if I'm not aware, those are probably things that aren't really important that are in pop culture that I don't need to know about. So it's subtle racism, but it's so embedded in this country that the people who may consider themselves not racist, they say racist things, and they do racist things without being aware. I'll give you an example just on the black side. Things that we might say that we don't realize because the language has been around so long. Like, we would say, we go to the store and go, okay, you know, Jew me down. Or there was a store in the Bronx we used to, I don't know who called it Jew man. I don't remember seeing the sign.
The sign was never Jew man. It's just that was the name for the store. Go to Jew man and Jew him down, or he'll try to Jew you. And you
Now think about that. Now, if we go around some Jewish people not thinking about it, and then we say, well, Jew me down,
that would be racist.
You know?
Or so, we go in a store and we call the you know, the Arab guy Habib, you know? That's racist.
Yeah. And people do it. There's a lot of ignorance. In no way am I saying black people are devoid of this ignorant talk, because a lot of people do it. But what I'm saying is, for the most part, if we have a grain of intelligence, we usually know when to pull back. It seems that on the other side, they don't know when to pull back, and they kind of say a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things. We're mm-hmm. constantly like, okay, I'm going to let that slide because maybe they don't really know what they just said. And, I'm just speaking truth. If that makes me racist, I wear that hat. But I'm just speaking truth, man.
It is crazy you say that because, you know, things like that always do happen. You always have, you know. But, you know, now this is where you know the fact is different. Now, it could be a civil rights march, a Black Panther rally, or anything, the Million Man March, and you can see white faces in the crowd. You will never, ever, and I repeat this, see Black, Hispanic, Mexican faces in the Ku Klux Klan rally.
Yeah,
that shows
one.
A different of assessment. Unless they protesting on the other side. But I'm talking about standing inside the middle, like you look, if you look in the meme, if you look all the way back down to the march on Selma or to the D.C. or to everything, you know, if you look everything in history, there's white people walking alongside of Black people. You know, there are some, you know, you got to give credit and admit that. And you see that we accepted that. We would never, ever be accepted at a Ku Klux Klan meeting or a skinhead meeting or any meeting to that, any group to that factor. I don't even think a Hell's Angel meeting.
Yeah, well, see, those people are openly racist, you know, when you have the marches,
the Black
Panthers,
Black
people.
They call
you know,
the Black Panthers openly racist, and the Black Panthers still, if you look at a lot of rallies, there was a lot of white press and a lot of white people there, and they did speak to white people, and they went to speak at schools, and Malcolm X even did the same.
Well, I don't feel like the Black Panthers were, you know, so-called racist because they were only fighting for what, just to be, just to know what,
but I'm not saying we're saying they were racist.
What was going on in society at the
but
time?
But the government considered them racist. Not us, not the community. The government considered them racist, so that's why I put them in that category. But I was trying to say they were still and they was the Black organization at that time that was considered the Ku Klux Klan to white people. So
well,
it was.
They just wanted to paint a picture
now,
of them.
The Nation of Islam won't let you in. The Father Center. I don't think I've never seen that. In a rally. Farrakhan. Well, the Million Man March was his thing, so yeah, I'm wrong. So.
Yeah.
But not inside of a, you know, yeah, not in the private Muslim mosque. I haven't, you know, seen that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this, though, man. For the most part, what we do is usually reactive, it's not active. You know, we're not actively running out and trying to do these things to people outside of our race. Now, most of the killing and fighting, even with Black on Black, with Black people, if you really break it down, besides the obvious of how this country has twisted the African existence, besides that, most of these things come is financial. Mm-hmm. And after a while, as generations went by, some forgot why they were opportunists in these situations. Why are you robbing somebody? Or it's just to do it? Well, at one point, it was, well, we don't have. And if we don't have, we're going to take. And it's easy to take from the person next to you. It's easy to lash out your frustration on the person next to you. And that's why there's so much Black-on-Black crime. I guarantee you, you solve the problem of finance in the Black community, you solve the majority of the problem with Black-on-Black crime.
Mm.
It's financial.
Yeah.
Poor people tend to lash out more frequently. So if you don't have, usually within trying to get, you're going to do stuff like that, or you're so frustrated, sometimes you just, like I said, you take it out on a person closer to you, and that person's going to be black because you're in a black community.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
that's why when you got somebody like Zimmerman, I can't stand that comparison, because there's no comparison. This dude did it because he was black. And anybody that tries to say different, he said it what did he mean? People with hoodies always get away with it. Young kids always get away with it. People that buy Skittles in Arizona always get away with it. He was being very specific because the cop even asked him, is he white or black? Why did that matter?
Right.
There's somebody who's suspicious in the neighborhood. Is he white or black? Oh, he's white. Oh, well, maybe he's just having a bad day. Let him go.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reasoning for identifying his color immediately? It sounded like the first question was, is he black or white?
Yeah.
And then he said they always get away with it.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, man. A lot, that's going to open the door. The precinct is going to get hit the most, because when the FBI is going to stumble onto other crooked stuff that happened at that precinct, that's all that's going to happen. You know, it's more stuff to be found. And it's going to be, because let me tell you something, the FBI are not going to be made look like fools. They don't never go in the thing and say, we ain't found nothing. They'll create something to find. They'll find something. They're going to make this stuff bomb happy. They're going to find corruption in that precinct. If he don't go, there's going to be a whole lot of corrupt peace officers gone. So but believe me, before that, the captain of them will find something to do. And I think they're going to base the fact on the call and how it sounded, and because that's what it seems like they're going with. And it looked like they're going to at least base that the fact to arrest him. You know what I mean? On he was stalking, and whether he'll win the trial or go to trial, that's yet to be said. You know what I mean? That's yet to be seen. But they're not gonna let, you know, the president's wearing hoodies. It's too much on Facebook. It's too much. It's national. Florida can't hold it. If we gotta just put the pressure. Florida got bad rep from already still in the Bush presidency.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of bad rep on everything. You know, people they still trying to shake a lot of things. And there's a lot of black people and Mexican and Spanish people in Florida, but they gotta stand up, because they the ones that's getting hurt. We all getting hurt all over the states, but right now this is their fight, and we just got to support them. And by supporting them is by not, I don't care if we don't buy no Florida oranges. You know what I mean? Like, no stores order Florida oranges. No, just boycott them. They'll get their little money somewhere, but believe me, man, they make a lot of money, because a lot of minority families love to go to these places, because that's the dream for us to have, you know what I mean? I don't mean to say it, but you know, you always feel good if you could take your kid to Disneyland, or you and your wife and go to Florida and have a vacation in Florida. You understand what I'm saying? We take that away from them, and we taking a lot away from them. And they have a summer because of this guy. And I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, he's an endangered species, because there are some sadistic people that will lose their job behind this if we boycott them. And they may even go and be like, oh, man, you know what happens, man. Come on. I used to love John Lennon, and somebody out of nowhere killed John Lennon. You know, and like I said, this dude put his whole family, and not to say nothing about his family, because you maybe not know, his family may be racist, but it might be one or two people in his family that's not racist that has to deal with that. This thing goes big. You know, you can imagine the pressure that people in Florida put, and I'm pretty sure people driving by the house, you know, things we not hearing about.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll get into it on their own time, man. What caused the LA riots, you know?
Yep, I know. That's what I'm saying. This is why this thing is so delicate, and I hope the government understands that. I really do. I really hope they understand that this thing was like a kid was bullied. You don't have a police officer now. You don't have a police officer to protect with your laws. You're trying to protect him with another law, but there's so much evidence against this guy. And this kid looks so innocent. Every picture of this kid is like he's the innocent, you know, he's the good kid of the neighborhood. You can see it. You can see it. You know, you don't see no thug in him.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see no thug.
I mean, honestly, you see this kid, like, who would really be intimidated
by this kid?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would be.
He wasn't intimidated by the kid. That's why he bullied him.
Right.
Exactly. And this is what I think happened, you know. Obviously, okay, the kid is not a thug, but if a kid has certain fears, someone bigger is approaching him. He probably shared some words.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy probably shoved him around, and maybe he did defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when he defended himself, that's when Zimmerman went for his gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that makes sense to me from where it came in when you hear this kid screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Is because he was being attacked and harassed, and he was trying to defend himself. And the reason why it took so long before the shot went off is this kid was probably trying to wrestle that gun from him, and he's yelling mm-hmm. for help while he's doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, but
and you know there's somebody that in the neighborhood that's seen something out their window.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but there was one woman, one of the calls I listened to, she was afraid. She said she didn't want to come forward because she was scared. And they told her, well, we'll leave this call as anonymous.
Hmm. They heard the call, so now she ain't anonymous no more.
Nah, but her name, they don't release your name.
Yeah,
so
but
if she decides that she doesn't want to come forward, they can't make her do it.
Hmm.
They can't.
Not even the feds?
No, because you have a right, if you're reporting something, you have a right to not be involved. I can say someone's robbing somebody, but they can't make me come out and say it. And you know, if I witness it, I see somebody trying to hurt somebody, and I call 911, they can't make me come out in a trial or anything like that. They can ask me. But they can't make me do it.
Now check this out. This is something else I'm gonna kick to you now. Now say her with all this technology, with all these guys trying to get a story, with all these paparazzi and these crazy guys. Somebody will through that phone call, some dude will find some technology with all these hackers. I don't care what you say. Find something to find out where this lady lives at.
Okay, but then what do they do with that information?
I mean, you know, they'll sell it to TMZ. They'll sell it to
that TMZ person. Not going to touch that because TMZ is going to be sued by a woman.
Well, there's the Star and all of them be touching it. There's people that be getting sued all the time. It'll be some magazine that, listen, we get sued all the time.
Not for this. I'm just saying. I'm just being real. Not for this.
Or there'll
it's not going to be worth a lawsuit for them to release It's dangerous to release the identity of someone who wants to remain silent, who gave up information, because now the Zimmerman family had that woman on the radar. So that's a lawsuit that will put Star out of business. Because she could say, well, what if these Zimmerman people, obviously, you know, this guy ran out and murdered this kid. What if his family is that way? And now my information is out there for the Zimmerman family to find me?
Yeah, I agree. That's probably why she doesn't want to come forward. She saw this man kill someone else. So now she doesn't want to say anything for fear that he may kill her.
Well, she said something, but she wants to remain anonymous.
Yeah, but I'm saying remaining anonymous for that reason.
I think the phone call is enough. They don't need her.
All right. So what she said was like Zimmerman was being a bully, basically.
No, she witnessed the whole thing, and she was crying about it because she was like the guy. Like she didn't really. She didn't know who was who, but it was in front of her house. And she sees him laying there, and she's crying, like, yo, he's dead. And the dispatch is saying, well, maybe he's not dead. You know, we're going to send somebody over. And she's like, I don't know what to do. She didn't even want to give up the phone because she was so afraid. She's like, I need somebody to talk to. They were like, well, why don't you call a family member or somebody? And she's like, I'm so afraid. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen somebody die. Please leave me anonymous.
Well, you know what? I hope the pressure, and I don't mean to say this, I hope it makes her want to come and say something. I hope she has in her heart to do the right thing.
But I don't think she needs to. The phone call is enough.
Yeah, the phone call is enough, but, you know, still.
That is her witness account. The tape was released. Everything she saw, she reported, right, on and it's recorded. So she doesn't need to come out and repeat it. She described everything she saw. She saw
you actually heard the shot, too.
Well, yeah, that was one call. This one I'm talking about is a different call.
Oh, it's another call.
Several people called in right in that immediate radius. Several people called in because I guess this dude probably pursued him. It had to be more than a couple of minutes. I don't think people are sitting there with 911 with a phone in their hand just waiting to press it. So it must have been a little loud for a minute.
Well, they're probably hearing him screaming help. And, you know, when he was screaming help, people probably was, you know, hearing that, looking out their windows. Quiet neighbor.
Yeah, so, you know, there's enough. You know, I don't think this woman needs to come forward. She came forward. You know, just to see her face, she's going to tell you the same story. So they don't need her to come out. They don't. And she's afraid. This woman was crying. I've never heard somebody, and I know that, you know, again, maybe because I've been desensitized to death.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe... I just lost my train of thought, but maybe, you know, I've never heard a woman or person so distraught over someone that they don't know, that they just saw get killed. This woman was, I mean, crying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, you know, as always, we always go way over time. It's a 30-minute show, and we kind of.
That's a good topic, though.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
But I'm a. I know it's time for you to do your thing. I'm going to punt it over to Mimi so she can put her last words and officially close her show, because I always end up talking way much. I'm a talker, man. Once you get me going, I'm going to punt it back. Mimi?
Well, you know, my condolences to the Martin family, and, you know, hopefully nothing like this won't take place in the near future. But, you know, we know the threat is out there. So, you know, we want to ask that, you know, the right thing is done in this case, in this situation. Hopefully, George Zimmerman will be brought to justice someday, hopefully sometime soon. And I hope, you know, all of these people that witnessed this will come forward to, you know, put this man in jail, because that's where he belongs. And, you know, really... he needs some rehabilitation himself, because if he really thinks that people are intimidating just because of the color of their skin or because they wear a hoodie or whatever the case may be, then, you know, he has serious issues. And really, he's the one that is getting away with something.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, you know, that's really all that I can say about that. It's really sad, but... you know, that's our show for this evening. And I leave everybody to DJ Big Stu.
Beef Stu.
Yeah. Once again, you're listening to Beef Stu Radio. I am the man, DJ Big Stu. I want to give a big shout out to Mimi and the Kappa. The show was Hot Talk. You know what I'm saying? That was a very hot topic. You know what I'm saying? So when y'all out there, y'all make sure y'all understand, you know, make sure y'all, you know, take some of the things that all of us said, and let's do something about this, man. Let's really do something about this. It's not about if we're going to win. It's about just letting them know that we're here and nothing like that's going to be going on without us saying anything. And that's the main key. It's not going to be going on without us saying anything. So we're going to get into some music right now. We're going to rock a little bit. So y'all just sit back, stay tight. It's Saturday night. It's your man, DJ Big Stu. I'm in the building. I do it the way I do it. Yes, sirree. Ain't nobody can do it like DJ Big Stu can. I'm trying to sing, y'all, but I can't sing it. I'm going to start singing. I always say, you know, though. You know? You know, you know? You know, you know, you know.
Gladness in the town, baby. Out in the
No one ever sleeps, cause their body's on fire. Yeah. Up on the roof, love is 100 proof. You got me going higher and higher.
dirty past. Thank you. company. I want to say I love you softly in your ear. Oh, baby, don't keep running. My heart is yearning for your love.
couldn't find. I searched day in and day out for the one that was mine, all mine. I played around with love before. I was feeling, and you know that I played the fool. But then you came into my life and you changed that. 'Cause I know what I want and where it's at.
Yeah. would bring such happiness for me. I tried to keep my sanity. I waited patiently. Girl, you know it seems my life is so complete. I love this truth because of you. You're doing what you do. Yeah.
floor and show that she got Gucci, Louis Vuitton, MGM styles of every kind, mega design Alpina. This girl, man, you gotta just see her. Sooner or later, she'll be my wife, and that's when she lives the glamorous life.
Once I stood on the block, loose cracks, produced stacks. I cooked up and cut small pieces. fabric. Pack a four Matic to crack your whole cabbage.
Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff fly, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff fly.
Let the people in. It's not a movement for men.